Well, we'd like to look at tonight in 1 Corinthians together in chapter 11. And the first verse, I don't know if we'll get past the first verse tonight because it's so powerful and there's so much to say about it. We might get down to verse 16. We'll just see how it goes. But let's look at verse 1 tonight in 1 Corinthians 11. And this is a scripture that has really touched me through my walk with the Lord, and probably you also. But it says this, "Be followers of me." So the Apostle Paul is saying to follow him, but he puts this condition on it. He says, "Even as I also am of Christ." So follow me as I follow Christ. You know, my dad used to say, "Don't do as I do, but do as I say." And that really doesn't work very well because we learn by example. And Jesus taught by example in his parables and in the things that he would say, then he would do. And so we learn and are taught by example. And to the elders of the church, the Apostle Peter said, he actually told the other elders to teach by example. And Paul said to Timothy, be an example of the believers. And so people look at your life, and that's how they learn. And I had a professor tell me years ago, and when I was in Bible college, he just said this. He says, you know, Christianity isn't really taught, it's caught. It's caught. And that's what we were kind of doing with you tonight, brother. We're just catching what you're trying to say. You just catch it. It's infectious, you know. And when you got a joyful heart, it just spreads out. And so that's the Lord. So he says, the Apostle Paul says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, I'd like to turn with you to Philippians. Let's turn in the scriptures, just a few books from 1 Corinthians. You go to Philippians and chapter 3, and starting at verse 5. And there's five things here that is about Paul's life as he's following Christ. And so he said to us, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so we can learn from Paul's life as he follows Christ. And let's go ahead and just read verses 5 through 9. Now, first of all, he's talking about who he is. And I think most of us know that, but just kind of review for it. It says that he was circumcised the eighth day. In other words, he was very Jewish and keeping to the Jewish law. Even as an infant, his parents had him circumcised the eighth day. And they found that the eighth day is the perfect day to circumcise because the blood in a little baby doesn't start really to coagulate. The chemical released in the bloodstream to coagulate the blood doesn't come till the eighth day. And so this is why the Lord has little kids circumcised on the eighth day. And he says, "I was of the stock of Israel." Yeah, he was a full-blown Israeli and man, God's chosen people, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, meaning that he was in the leadership of the Jewish people, is touching the law. He was a Pharisee, just dedicated to keeping the law of God and the Ten Commandments and all the commandments from the Old Testament. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. He, in his own mind, he never did anything wrong. Of course, that's never true about anybody because Jesus says, if you've done it in your heart, you've already done it, right? And that's, they learned that later. He was very zealous for the Jewish faith, that he even had Christians killed because they were going against the Jewish faith. And he thought he was doing right, but he found out he was wrong. "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ." He was on a horse going to Damascus to arrest Christians, and the Lord knocked him off his horse and said, "Paul, Paul," or "Saul, Saul," before he changed his name, "why do you persecute me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord, that I'm persecuting?" He says, "I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. And you are kicking against the goads." They would use an ox goad to show an ox which way to go. And the Lord had kind of been poking Paul in the ear with an ox goad to go the right way, but he was kicking against that. But now he got gloriously saved. And he was blind for 3 days, and the Lord healed him of his blindness and said, "You're going to go to the Gentiles, and you'll also speak to the Jews." And so at this time then, he learned that without Christ, he wasn't anything. And so he says, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Now, he might have even lost his wife at this time, because you had to be married to be part of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leadership. You had to be married. And so some scholars believe that she left him because he was now an on-fire Christian. A lot of people don't understand on-fire Christians. They just can't swallow that. And so his wife just said, "You know, I'm out of here." And so he had suffered the loss of all things for Christ. He lost his compadres. He lost his leadership role. He lost possibly his wife. And he just had Jesus, and that's it. And that's it. And I think that's what Dan was trying to say too. It's only the Lord, man, in the end. Boy. And so I do count them but dung, he says, or refuge, that I might win Christ. He saw that nothing was more important in his life than Jesus Christ. Nothing was more important to him. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." This is the first thing I want to bring out, that the Apostle Paul, in following Christ, has found. And it's simply this: God's plan is the only plan that's any good for your life. As he says that he counts everything else like dung, like refuge in his life, that he might win Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of his own. It says, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And all my plans are going to be tainted by who I am. And I don't amount to much without Jesus." And so now with Jesus, I'm inside his plan. I'm in the center of his will. And so this is something that the Apostle Paul teaches about heavily. And it's something that we need to follow him about, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service, and then be transformed in the renewing of our minds and begin to just serve him. And then life really opens up. That's when you really learn how to live. And I think looking at you Christians out here, you've been finding this out as we go and receive the lessons of God. He says that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We give him our sins and he gives us his righteousness and begins to flow and live his life again through us as we're in submission to him. And so this is the first thing I wanted to show you about. God's plan is the only plan that's any good for my life. Anything else falls short. It doesn't satisfy, doesn't feel right. And when he corrects us and we get back in the center of his will, that is when things fall into place. And you just feel, you know what? We're right in the center of God's will right now. And man, how good it feels. How good it feels to be there. And so this is what Paul's saying. Now, verse 10 is very, very eye-opening to thinking about suffering in our lives, because he says this, And this is the second thing I want to talk to you about. He says, that I may know him, number one, the power of his resurrection. When we have these great victories, and we thought things were over, and man, not going well, and all of a sudden, Jesus Christ brings a resurrection in our lives. And I think life is full of baby resurrections. There's baby crosses and baby resurrections. And I mean baby because they're little things that just happen in our lives that Jesus brings resurrection to. It's just amazing how he works things together for good for us in very almost things you can't see until he opens your eyes to them and shows you as you put something on the altar and God breaks it and blesses it and gives it back to you. And there's a resurrection there. And it's all leading to the great resurrection because we're going to die one day, as Dan was saying. All of a sudden, we're going to kick the royal bucket. And it's so neat because it's royal. It's the royal bucket that we're kicking because God has made us kings and priests and to rule and reign with him in eternity and to be blessed of him. And so to know him, the power of his resurrection, yeah, that's what I want to know. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. So part of sonship or daughtership is suffering. And just think of it this way. Jesus Christ experienced the power of the resurrection. Yes, he did. And he also experienced the cross and the suffering that he went through when he was despised and rejected. And so in order for me or you to be a full-blown son of God, as many as received him gave he power to become the children of God. To become a full-blown son or daughter, we have to experience both. And that's why Paul is saying, right here, that I might know him. Number one, the power of his resurrection. And number two, the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul knew that. And so this is a whole different way to look at the sufferings that you go through. You and I, we face certain things that we just suffer through. And it hurts and it's hard and there's a lot of change going on when we're suffering. But this is part of what we need to experience to be a full son of God. We'd be half a son of God if there was no suffering, because it's part of who Jesus is. And Peter did not like that. Remember when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to suffer many things at the hands of the Pharisees. And Peter took a hold of Jesus Christ and said, it will not be so. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, you false teacher. No, he didn't say that. Get behind me, you heretic. No, he didn't say that. He said, get behind me, Satan. Satan. Imagine being called Satan by Jesus Christ in front of all your friends. That would be bad. I mean, whoa. But that's how heavy that mistake was, to dismiss suffering. You don't have to suffer, Jesus. You don't have to. And he said, you do not savor the things that are of God's, but of man. And you're trying to skip out on the suffering. You're trying to get me to skip out on the suffering. But it's part of being the Son of God. And it's part of our lives. Part of our life with the Lord is the fellowship of his suffering. And that's hard to take sometimes, but it's just true. You know, just give you an example. In the life of my boys, Josh, my son, second son, he got so hard on us in his teenage years. When he was, I think, a junior in high school, began, his attitude was Oh man, it was so hard on this. And I told him, I said, Josh, if you don't study your algebra, I'm going to take you off the football team. And he just didn't listen and didn't get with the algebra. But I didn't take him off the football team because I wanted to see him run with the ball so bad. And that's when I lost him. I wasn't in control anymore. This guy, he was so impressive and so filled with charisma, if you want to call it that way, that, you know, Dad was decked as far as, you know, being able to control that boy's life. But you know what happened? He married this certain girl, yes, and man, did she whip him into shape. It was beautiful. But there was so much suffering involved. You know, they were throwing rocks at each other and stuff. It was amazing. She threw one of those boulders that are in planters at the windshield of the car and broke the windshield. And man, I just looked at that and I thought, she could have killed my son, you know. And it was hard when we were going through it. And him and she went through so much suffering. She actually turned the car off on the freeway and threw the keys out the window. I mean, it was dangerous. Dangerous living. But God actually used all this chaos and unbelievable things going on between them to actually settle that boy down through that suffering. And he got to be a pastor. I mean, he's a pastor now, and he is the sweetest man, and he's just so tender-hearted. And he'll call me up and say, Dad, I love you so much, you know, and I just drink it in, you know. It's wonderful to hear. But I know that God had to bring his wife into his life to just straighten him out. And they did a little straightening out on each other, you know. They were both wild and crazy, you know. But God is just amazing. He picks suffering things out for us and works with us. And we go through times of just being so bummed. I mean, just to the max. But God's working. Yes. And so the Apostle Paul has grown to a place of maturity where he can say, I just want to know him. I just want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection, yes, and the fellowship, the sweet fellowship of his sufferings. Because in those sufferings, he mellows me out. He changes my life for the better. He brings me into a relationship with him that's close and beautiful and lovely. And so this is something to follow Paul in as he follows Christ. Christ accepted the cross. He said, I'm going to go and suffer many things at their hands for you and I, because he loved us so much. And he calls us to the same things. We're called to suffer. And we're called to a life of suffering from time to time. Never as much as he did, because he that's greatest among you is the servant of all. And nobody can outserve Jesus Christ in the way he suffered for us. But you and I are called to a certain amount of suffering, and when we get the right idea about it and go ahead and just say, hey, this is the way it is, and this is something that I'm experiencing in fellowshipping with my Lord, becoming a full son. I don't want to be a half a son, do you? Do you want to get to heaven and be kind of half of you is there? No. We want to experience the fullness of all that he is. We want to know him completely and to actually enter into full sonship. And so it will be with, yes, the power of the resurrection, but also the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Death in us, life in them. Every time you go to minister, in some way, there's a little death in you, and that's okay. Sherry, many times we'll see that I'm in a stinking mood, and she'll say, oh, it must be Wednesday. Your Bible study's tonight. I mean, she actually knows that. And when it's her time to teach on Thursdays, you know, I kind of walk on eggshells, you know, don't upset her kind of thing, because it's just the way it is. There's these little messengers from Satan that come and buffet us, and we, you know, the toothpaste tube doesn't squeeze just right. Your contact lens is rolled up inside your eyelid. Yeah, stuff like that, you know. This is all things that are designed to actually just work on our character and to learn obedience through the things that we suffer. Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Yeah. I mean, is it being obedient to your mom or dad when they say, you eat that Rocky Road ice cream right now? Or is it when they're telling you to eat Brussels sprouts and sauerkraut? No, you learn obedience through the things that you have to suffer, like eating okra. You know, when I mention okra, I almost want to throw up right now. My dad would do some cooking for us sometimes when my mom would go to work, and he opened a can of okra. And okra lives in slime. I don't know if you knew this. I mean, it's good when they flour it and everything and bake it, but just to pour it out of a can, there's this slime that goes wee, 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 wee. And my poor brother and sister, I thought they were going to die. And my dad said, eat your okra. And I'm just going, ah, you know. And it was just the most horrible thing to do that. But I did, because I'm an eater. But my brother and sister aren't eaters. My sister just would eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and that's it. And so she couldn't do it. My little brother couldn't do it. My dad got ticked and started yelling. But then he took a bite of that okra with the slime. And he went, and we all cheered. Because then we were done. He said, you can be done now. So we suffer certain things, don't we? And we go through things that we don't want to go through. But you know what? It's all good. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so the Apostle Paul knew this, and he's following Christ right here. And he's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And going into the suffering. Jesus said that if you're going to follow me, you have to learn how to deny yourself. Take up your cross. And what is a cross? A cross is a place of being despised and rejected by your compadres. Despised and rejected. And actually have suffering in one way or the other for righteousness' sake. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why he said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You're following Christ when you see your sufferings as something that he's designed for you. And if you never see this, you'll be above most men and women, most miserable. You know why? Because there's so much of it in your life, isn't there? There's hard times almost every single day. And we just have to learn to say, hey, God's working with me. It's part of the fellowship of his suffering. And that then brings a different attitude and a release and a peace that the Apostle Paul knew well. And so there it is. I'll just read it one more time. That I might know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Because the resurrection always comes. God always brings resurrection. And it's kind of like, if you have an argument with your wife or your girlfriend and you're just dying inside, you know, the feeling of just aching inside, or even when you have an argument with a fellow employee or a child. I mean, any kind of riff, it just hurts inside. But man, how great it is when you smile at each other and you make up. And it is worth all the tea in China when there's a glorious reuniting. Reunited, and I'd like to say. I love that song, that old song. But anyway, there's this reuniting. And so the resurrection, it always comes. And we can take that kind of attitude, that kind of blessing into every suffering. I'm going to get through this. It's going to turn out okay. And I'm going to be right with the Lord. And he's right there with me and was with me all through that suffering. So there it is. It's something to learn as we grow in Christ. Now let's go on to number 3. It says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so the goal was, I want to turn in to the man or the woman that God intended me to be. And so it is a lifelong journey. And so the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already attained. Now, he was an old man by this time. He's in prison. He's getting older. And he has said, you know what? I'm not perfect. Aren't you glad he said that? Because that gives us hope, doesn't it? I thought early in the ministry that and I would become a wonderful pastor one day and I'd have it all together. But the longer I live, the more I know that I just have so many faults. And when you get closer to Jesus, closer and closer to Jesus, you understand looking at him, we're not very good. We're just stumbling along like a blind man in a blind alley, not even knowing what's next. It doesn't get better. And knowing Brother Marvin, who died at 93, and I just really respected him my whole life that I knew him, but he really had problems. I said, man, Marvin's got trials even here in the end of his life. And it was an eye-opener for me. He says, it doesn't end. It doesn't. The Apostle Paul hadn't attained to perfection. No. He says, either was I already perfect, but I follow after. And that's it. He has learned to just keep going. And sometimes you don't feel like it. But follow after, if that I may apprehend or come into that place with the Lord, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus got a hold of my life for a reason, for a purpose, for what he has for my life. And I want to press on. I want to follow hard after him so that I might get there, apprehend that for which I was apprehended for. That I might get to the place that God intends for my life to be. And when we have glimpses of that, it's awesome and wonderful. So this is Paul following after, and he's saying to us, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's go ahead and apprehend that for which we've been apprehended for. And you know, I really feel that I know people that were called to one person. Just one person. A person that's a non-believer, that's a hard head, that they're married to. And their whole ministry is to show Jesus to them, that they may eventually come to Jesus Christ. And it is an awesome ministry. And it's well worth it because Jesus Christ is interested in every individual on the planet fully and deeply. And we just do what God's called us to do. That's all. And that's it. And that's the end of it, right? That's what we do. And so there it is. Now, so let's go on to a number four. And this says in verse 13, "Now, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Now, this is difficult for a lot of folks. They want to feel guilty for stuff they did 20 years ago and pine over that. If I only hadn't kicked my dad in the head, you know, kind of thing. If I only hadn't this, that, and the other thing. But you got to forget that. You got to put that behind you. Or a really terrible marriage. Or a really terrible thing that you did to your brother or your sister. I remember there's this one kid named Paul Untaguk. He was an Eskimo. And he used to say that sometimes he'd spit and it froze before it hit the ground, stuff like that. It was really interesting talking to him. He lived in an igloo for a while, chased polar bears. But anyway, he shot his brother by accident when he was about 13 years old. And he figured he could never be saved. Never be saved. Because he shot his brother, even though it was an accident. But he had been warned not to ever point a gun, no matter if you even know it's not loaded. And he thought it wasn't loaded, and he pulled the trigger and shot his brother. So he was sitting there in our apartment at a Bible study, crying his eyes out because he knew he couldn't take communion. He could never be saved. And you know, it was neat because we got to minister to him about it and just say, you know, Paul, God can forgive anything. And he understands that you need help right now. And that's why Jesus died for you. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. And he took communion that night. And it was the most glorious thing to ever see. He was just so filled with relief because he began to forget that which is behind. We got to do it. And the Apostle Paul is really saying, follow me as I follow the Lord in this statement. Forgetting those things which are behind. You got to let it go. We have to let it go. And just say, Lord, it's a brand new day. And I've shared this a lot of times, but I really believe that's why God gave us sleep at night. Because his mercies are new every morning. And every day is a do-over. Starting a new day now. Got to forget what happened yesterday, or what I did, or what mistake I made yesterday, and start again new today. And go forward in the Lord. Amen. Boy, that's happy living. That's like being a seven-year-old again at Disneyland on Tom Sawyer's Island. That's what that feels like. You're just ready to go. And nothing else matters but the pontoon bridge, man. Just running across that thing with total joy. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. It's a new day. It's a new time. I want to go forward. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Christ Jesus. And so I want to go forward. And so he says in verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am pressing on to that which God has intended me to be. I want to attain to that. I want to go for that. I press towards the mark or the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to get there. I want to be that. I want to do this. And I press towards it. This is a very important point here. I think this is the most important point we're going to look at tonight, really. How much time do I have? Where am I? I've got to ask. This clock is bizarre up here. 8:08, good. This is great. Okay, so we're on number four here. We're going to look at five things tonight. But this idea of pressing on is so very important in our lives. Because either you're a missionary or you're a mission field. There's no in between. Either we're a missionary or a mission field because of our sin nature. It's so easy for us to slip back if we stop going forward. And this is what's taught so clearly in the Bible. I need to press on, forgetting that which is behind, and press on to that which lies ahead. That goal of attaining for what I was attained for by Jesus Christ, and pressing on to that high call in Him. I want to show this to you in a step-by-step situation in the book of Ephesians. So let's turn to the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is back in the scriptures from Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 22. Chapter 4 and verse 22. Now it says this in verse 22 of Ephesians 4. Put off concerning the former conversation or manner of living the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So the first move that we make, and actually this idea that we're looking at right now in verse 22 and 24 of Ephesians 4, is like putting on a garment. And many times when I preach on this, I'll bring a couple of coats in, a really shabby old coat, and then a better looking one that's newer. Because we're supposed to just take off like a garment the old man. You just let him go, take him off. And then you put on the new man. But there's a step in between, verse 23. So we put off concerning the former manner of living the old man, like a garment, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now this comes through presenting yourself to Jesus. You present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And then it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so this is getting the renewing of the mind here. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We look to Christ Jesus. We ask Him to fill us with His Spirit and just work on our mind and change our mind about the things that we ought to be doing, putting off the old man, and be given a complete renewal in the brain to make the right choices and to go the right way. And that is a glorious time. But we can't stop there. If you stop there, your mind will receive pollutions again from the enemy. He will send his fiery darts, and you will slip back to the old man and go put the old man back on. We have to keep going. The pressing on is so important, because look at the next verse in Ephesians 5, and it says, and that you put on. Now you just don't put off, but you allow your mind to be renewed by the washing of the water of the Word and by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, looking to the Lord. Then you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And this new man is Jesus Christ. You have to put Him on like a garment. Put on, it says in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Oh man, I learned that early in our marriage. Sherry would send me out for a quart of milk. And oftentimes I'd just go to the liquor store on the corner, but they had pornography then that was just laid out in front of everybody. And so I was finding myself looking towards that stuff. And so the Lord showed me, make no provision for the flesh. Therefore, I started going to Ralph's. I would go past the liquor store down to Ralph's to get the milk, because I knew that I was putting myself in harm's way by going into the liquor store. And so we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's why for many that the computer is a danger area. And so Sherry is the one that has the passwords to our computer. And I only go on the computer when she's there with me. And she gives me the password. And it's just a safeguard for me. And by the grace of God, I have not looked at pornography for decades. Hallelujah. It's a freedom. And it's a beauty. And all of those bad pictures in my mind have faded away. It's so great. It's so liberating. But it's a guard. You have to guard your brain. Put a guard on your mouth, the Bible says, about what you speak. And be sober and vigilant, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he might destroy. So he's after you continually. And so we take off, we put off the old man. We allowed our mind to be renewed, and we put on the new man to go forward. Hey, I want to press on. I want to get better. I want to do better. I want to be more godly. God, make me a blessing to somebody today, Lord. Lord Jesus, just keep working on me, Lord, because, you know, I'm no good. I'm no good. Jesus, I am no good. And you can say that with all confidence. Because I quoted this earlier, but it says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And if I'm not going forward, I'm going to be going backward. You begin to slip back into the old man just through sheer boredom or whatever. But we need to press on, brothers and sisters. Press on. Press on. God, I want to be a more godly man. There's a song. I want to be a more godly man. I want to follow you if I can. And so, Lord, please help me to choose you every day when the bad thoughts begin to come, and be renewed in the spirit of my mind, and then put on the new man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul found this out, and this is how he was following Jesus, and this is how he wants us to follow. He also wrote the book of Ephesians. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, but don't stop there. Press on. Get involved in some ministry that excites you. And that can be in so many different ways. There's the goers and there's the senders. And you can send missionaries out by supporting them and follow them. And you can follow them on the internet and say, you know, my money's involved with that missionary. Praise the Lord. And get excited about that instead of the things the devil wants you to get excited about. And it's a great, great road that God puts us on to do that kind of thing. And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing. Pressing on towards the mark of the high call. And it's a high call, because we're going to heaven one day. And that's where we're going to live forever. And so it's a very high call, the high call of Jesus Christ. And we go and we do that. You know, I think about your son. No, it's your cousin, isn't it? Sergio, he's your cousin? Yeah. I mean, gee, he has started studying the Bible. And his whole life, you know, he's been really hearing the Bible here at church and stuff, but all of a sudden he just got lit. I mean, he just got lit. And so now he's just studying and teaching it to his family. Are you part of his Bible study?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh? Tuesday nights, yeah, what a blessing. And so he's working here at the church too. He's teaching Sunday school, he's teaching the youth group here. And he is just amazing. I think he's, what, 20 years old or something? 23, all right. Just going, I mean, he has just found a passion about the Word of God. And man, you can't stop this kid. And it is really a blessing to see him go. And you know, each one of us has our area. So many people are involved in mercy ministries, like Mother Teresa, you know, like her, where you just want to help somebody. You just want to just find out what's going on so you can help them out. And I just remember Dan and Becky, I know I use them as an example a lot, but I know them well. But they just started a prayer ministry down in Balboa Island. Their house burned down and they had to move to Balboa Island. I thought that was a great idea. Because the insurance company's paying the rent, right? Hallelujah. So they're down there, and they put a box out in front because at Balboa Island, people come by all the time. And it says, prayer request. You can, and they had a piece of paper there and a pencil, so people could write a prayer request and put it in the box. So many people did that. So many. Because it's right there in a main thoroughfare of people walking by all the time. And so they would take the prayer requests into their house and then pray one by one for the needs of these people. And what excited them was when one of the people came back with a praise report. Oh, happy day. I mean, that was such a blessing for them to get a praise report. And see, that's going forward, man. We're going forward. We can charge. We're going to go get those dudes and we're going to pray for them. And you can ask anybody, anytime, anywhere, if they want prayer. You can do that. Yes. You say, can I pray for you? And some of them will say, oh, crazy man, I'm out of here. But somebody will say, yes, you can pray for me. And you can stand and pray. It's just the most wonderful thing. You're pressing on, aren't you? You're getting your adventure need fulfilled. You're not bored anymore. Because God has got something for you to do today. And it can get very exciting. Very exciting. And blessed. And so we press on. Amen? Amen. Okay, well, one more thing then. Am I still okay with time? I just want to do one more. I got 10 minutes. This is excellent. Okay, so we're back to Philippians chapter 3. And the last thing I want to talk to you about here then is found in verse 16. Now, this is very comforting. This has comforted me many times. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, because you're not going to get perfect till heaven. But you're a mature Christian. You're maturing. You're growing up in the Lord. Let us therefore as many as be mature. That's verse 15 of Philippians 3. Be thus minded. How minded? Pressing on. Let's press on. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, if you're getting bored, you're getting dull of hearing, you're starting to not press on. If you're differently minded than pressing on, God will show you. It says here, God shall reveal even this unto you. God will knock on the door of your heart and say, look, you're kind of backing off on this. You haven't been praying for as much people as you used to and being fervent in prayer. And so you'll get that message from the Lord. But then it says in verse 16, this verse is so encouraging, and I'm so glad we can end with this verse tonight. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. The word achieved is another translation there, of already achieved. In other words, on a hard day, on a bad day, on a day that has clouds in the sky and that heavens feel like brass when you're trying to pray or whatever, just having a testing day. Just hang in there. Just continue in the things you've already learned. I'll just read it again. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already achieved or attained, man, this is what I know already because God's already shown this to me. Sometimes on a really hard day, that's all you can do. Don't slip back out of discouragement, but just say, no, I've learned in whatever state I find myself there with to be content, to hang on to the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And just hang on to that trust. And so this has been so encouraging to me, as I've said again and again, whereto we have already attained, just let us walk by the same rule. Let's just stay within the rule of God. Don't slip back to old rules and old things, but let us walk by the same rule. Let us put our minds on the same thing. I love that verse that says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. As long as I can keep my mind on him, he will give me perfect peace. But sometimes our minds want to race. We want to get going in figuring out whatever's going on and how to react and so forth. And we get all upset. And we have to be still and know that he's God. Just go by the same rule that you've learned from the Lord and where you've already achieved, and just sit there. Remember one time, the Lord was so good to do this. I was just upset and I wanted to get up and go and do something about it. And I was getting all wound up and I felt like he put his knee on my chest. I mean, I just went, woo, and I couldn't move. And I felt like he was just saying, you know what? I'm going to keep my knee on your chest until you calm down and just allow me to touch your heart. And, obey the same rule, stay in the same place, but just listen to me. And it is really cool when that happens. He knows us. He knows that we get carried away. And we get into the worrywartness of things many times. He knows we're human. We're human. He remembers, this is on my in my office, on my wall. He remembers that we're but dust. I mean, he made us out of the ground. He remembers we're dust. He remembers that. But he pities us like a father pities his children. And I love that. And he just says, calm down, be still, stay in the place where I've brought you so far, and you're just going to receive a peace, and you'll be able to get up and press on again. And so we go, right? One foot in front of the other, and just moving forward in the Lord. That's what we do. So let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you can do all things, because nothing is too hard for you. And nothing shall be impossible for you. And you can, Lord, make us right before you. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Truly, he had it down. He understood, Lord, you in such great ways, Lord, that he could rejoice in his sufferings. Lord, that he could see that you're working hard on him and that he needed to just press on towards the high call. And Lord, thank you that you've given us by your grace a high call. It's a high call. And Lord, we want to go there and be there with you. And Lord, Dan has brought to our minds again tonight. Life is short. It's like a vapor. It goes by real fast. But Lord God, you know that. And you have tempered us and made us what we're to be by your grace. And so Lord, help us to just stand on the rock and lean into your grace, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together, and we want to invite you to the prayer room if you need prayer tonight. Dan and Becky will be there to pray. You might find out more about what went on with Dan. So may the Lord bless you guys. Just hang in there with the Lord, man. Hey, let's do that. And it's so neat the way he lifts our hearts when we're in the Word. Isn't it amazing? I mean, the words of God just wash and bring us up and minister to us and say, hey, let's keep going. Let's keep on trucking for Jesus and pressing on for that high calling in Christ Jesus. So God bless you guys and help you with your struggles and your battles. And may the Lord always cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's a verse. That's a promise that we can claim. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.